Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the program of comfort and encouragement. Oh, hit that button. This is Wretched Radio. That's right. We're going to try to encourage you. Not exactly our spiritual gift. Nevertheless, would like to offer you something that should thrill your soul if you allow yourself to be bruised a bit. That tends to be God's pattern. When you and I get scalded by a particular Bible verse or by a particular theology or attribute of God, yep, it stings a bit, but then he offers balm to not just make the pain go away, but to help us to feel better. And so it is. We would like to provide you the sting so that the balm of God's truth can actually give you joy if we do not let ourselves hurt a little bit, if we never let ourselves get convicted, if we never hear preaching that actually points a finger, and I mean literally points a finger to say, you're the man, you and I will never experience as much joy as we should. Because one thing I think we can agree on, you and I are more sinful than we realize, aren't we? And by the way, if you have not come to that conclusion yet, if you're born again, you're going to. At some point, you are going to arrive at the conclusion you are far more sinful and wicked than you ever imagined, even when you got saved. Especially if you got saved because of a big bad sin that happens a lot. You do a big naughty, and God convicts you, and you feel really terrible because you realize how bad that was, and you get saved, and you genuinely get saved. But at some point, the Lord is going to reveal to you, you're so much worse than that sin. You lack in so many areas, and he doesn't do this just to make us feel rotten. It is because he's, first of all, telling us the truth, and isn't that what we all need? Somebody to actually tell us the unvarnished truth lovingly. But he does that so he can also then heal us when we realize how sickly we are. But he also then provides a means for us to actually have joy. The Christian life is not merely about riding the line of emotions or riding the line of morality, not falling into a ditch on either side. This, by the way, excursus time, is very true of biblical counseling. Biblical counseling is not just intended to help somebody not feel bad. Biblical counseling is not designed so that people will stop doing that thing. That is not all that it is. It is, yes, indeed, about putting off, stopping that. Don't continue in those patterns. But that's not the end of biblical counseling. Put on. Stop lying. Start telling the truth. Stop being angry. Start loving. Stop coveting. Start being content and being generous. It's always a put off and a put on sort of affair with biblical counseling. And the way that that process happens is by us pointing people to Jesus Christ, the source and the hope of everything that they need is found in him. Biblical counseling is to turn our eyes on Jesus so that we look long in his wonderful face and that we are motivated them to become increasingly like him. That is what biblical counseling is about. And by the way, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a copy of Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. That's right, 62 biblical counseling lessons before you get to work each day. Nope, you can't have it. It'll be in the store soon. Just wanted to let you know I have a copy and you don't. Let's get to a bit of bruising so that the Lord can heal us. And this is going to hurt a lot, but we are going to use the Psalm of Repetition to help us. Oh, how I wish contemporary Christian authors would take note of the balance in the Bible. You've got one psalm that is really repetitious, and it really is repetitious. This is sort of like, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He really, really loves us. Okay. Repetition can be okay, but let's keep in mind it's one psalm out of 150. Okay, let's just remember when we go about the business of writing our contemporary Christian music, one psalm out of 150 repeats a sentiment over and over again. And guess what it is? It is not the love of God, which can be ill-defined by virtually anybody who hears it. It's the loving kindness of God. This is Psalm 135, 136. Sorry. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and here it comes, for his mercy, his chesed, his loving kindness, depending on your translation, it endures forever. The loving kindness of God, it endures forever. And then the rest of the psalm for 26 verses goes on to say, this because the love of God endures forever. This because his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. To the Lord of lords, his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. It gives you historical facts, what God has done, to remind you his mercy endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. We're going to follow that pattern. As you take a test to determine how prideful you are. Hey, Friel. Sounds like fun. Thanks for burying the lead. One, if you want to be well known or for people to think that you're important, you've got pride. If you desire more likes on your Facebook machine, if you look for more views so that people will know you better, congratulations, that is rooted in pride. But Jesus died for you anyway. There's our repetition. There's our balance to being revealed as being a wicked sinner, a reminder of how great God's goodness and kindness is toward us by dying for us while we were yet pride-filled sinners. Number two, if you are really, really competitive, you've got to win. Congratulations, you have pride, but Jesus died for you when you were a pride-filled sinner anyway. Are you that way? You got to win. You don't win, man. Oh. It's pride. Number three, you seek to impress people. You want people to be impressed with you, your accomplishments, or you reveal it through the clothes or the jewelry you wear. See the bling? That's because I can. Furniture you own, the house you live in, the place you live, the town. Oh, you live in that. Back when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, which I never was because we grew up in the Midwest, and we didn't talk like that. It was Bloomington, Minnesota. Oh, you live in Bloomington. And regularly, people from Bloomington would tell you they're from Bloomington. Hey, my name's Jim. I'm from Bloomington. Plebeian. That's pride. The company you work for, you got to let people know how much you make, the food you eat. Do you ever do that? Yeah, well, you know, we're foodies. We're that way. We just like fine things because we're fine. It's pride. Reeking pride. If you take pride in your physical appearance, you want to show it off in any way, shape, or form. By the way, Jimmy, I don't want to be pride-filled.
Well, don't.
Yeah, well, I'm not because, I mean, how could I be when I'm reading this? That'd be a little bit hypocritical of me. I don't mind telling you, I put on a shirt about a day ago, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I looked pretty buff.
Ah.
Mrs. Friel put it in the dryer by mistake. It was, my son couldn't fit into it is what I'm trying to say. It was like, what happened to my shirt here? It actually looked like I had a muscle, but then I turned in the mirror and revealed, I don't. The point is, if you take pride in your body, it's because you have pride. You want people to know where you went to school, how much you know, who you know, what your background is. Pride. And Jesus died for you anyway. Do you smell that yet? That putrid sound, it's not because your nose doesn't work from COVID. It's you. You're smelling you, and I'm smelling me, and I should, and it's good that I do, if I remember that Jesus died for me anyway. If I just get drubbed by a list like this, this was Brent Detweiler who put this together. If I just let this drub me like I'm some sort of spiritual speed bag, okay, I'll try harder. I'll do better. I'll be more humble. And I'll let you know about it. Just so you know that I'm being more humble, I'll let you know about it. So that I don't have pride. That's not good enough. That's not Christian enough. When you and I are convicted of sin, pride or otherwise, don't stop there. Remember this good news that Jesus died for you anyway. And you have my biblical promise on this. It will not give you license to sin more. It will encourage you to sin less. When you remember your reeking pride and that Jesus died for you when you stank, that's the very knowledge that will humble you and will give you hope and joy and will give you correct balance about who you are and whose you are. You smell that yet? This is Wretched Radio. So, you're one of them there Christians that wants a lot of bang for your giving buck. I concur completely, and that is why I would like to commend to you the Masters Academy International. If you would like to see your giving go a long way, the Masters Academy is the vehicle that will make sure your dollar goes very, very far. They train indigenous pastors in 16 countries around the globe to rightly pastor and to rightly preach the Word of God for years, for decades. Consider the fruit that will be born from training a pastor to rightly divide the Word of truth. If you would like to get a lot of bang for your giving buck, please learn more about the Masters Academy International. Pick a country that's near and dear to your heart and give with confidence. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Wretched Radio today. We always appreciate when you email us your comments, your questions, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org. We always love to hear those stories and snarks and comments and conundrums, just like this email we received from Alexandra, who says, "Todd, just started listening to Wretched Radio and love the heartbeat of this ministry. I have been feeling an urgency for a long time about coming persecution, and your show boldly addresses it." Just like Alexandra, send us your comments, your questions, your stories, and your conundrums. Again, you can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org, or you can call Beep Talk at 1-866-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see if we can make you feel really terrible. I mean good. This is Wretched Radio. Brent Detweiler drubbing us, reminding us all of the ways that you and I can be pride-filled sinners. And if we let the conviction land, if we are willing to admit and agree with God, yep, we are that pride-filled, there is a great deal of joy awaiting you. Christianity is not mystical. Christianity is cognitive. It is not necessarily academic, although it can be, but Christianity is not void of thinking. And far too often, you and I fail to do the thinking necessary to have the joy that God wants us to have. Don't forget, he wants you to have joy. He doesn't want you to just be flatlined. He wants you to have joy. Why? Because he is a joy-filled God. Have you forgotten that, by the way? God is not holding his nose around you. That God is a God who takes joy in forgiving sinners because he's that good and he's that loving despite us. Have you forgotten that? Do you let yourself appreciate that? Are you willing to go through the cognitive process of arriving at the destination of joy? That is what it requires, that we think through these things way too often. I see these emails regularly, and I understand it. People want to know if they're actually saved because they don't feel something. They don't feel saved. I don't know what that feels like. I don't even know that anybody can describe that. But when you press somebody, they'll say, well, it's just that I know that I'm saved. Well, okay, then it's not an emotion. It's a cognitive process, which will indeed produce an emotion. You'll feel happy, if you will. You'll have joy in knowing that you are his and you cannot be snatched from his hand. But you must know it, which means we must think these things through. And that is what I'd like to endeavor to do for you, because I personally do not need this list about all of the ways that we can be pride-filled. So I will just use it to drub you, but don't stop there. Never stop with just being convicted. You should be convicted. Let's not run into the hyper-grace ditch of never feeling bad about anything because Jesus has it covered. That is wrong theology also. But I fear too many of us, because we tend to be conservative biblicists, we forget to let the good news of God's kindness seep in. I can't help but wonder if that's why, well, a fair amount of us were kind of, what's the word I'm looking for that might best describe conservative Christians who have a high view of the Bible? Crabby? Little short?
Little cagey.
Little cagey, definitely cagey. We're just not very warm. We've got the theology boxes checked, but we aren't willing to take the time to just think this through, because we're thinking people. Christians are not mystical people. We don't just wait for the bibbidi bobbidi boo to happen. God wants us to think, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And we so often bypass that, especially in evangelical Christianity, don't we? We go to the show, the music causes emotions to come bubbling up, but they're ginned up. We need to be thinking on truths about God, truths about ourselves, and truths about what God did for us despite ourselves. Then you are going to arrive at feelings. Bypass the intellect and your feelings. Good luck. Good luck. And way too many evangelicals, man, they're caught in that trap where they have to go to the big show to get it. You know, my walk, just lacking these days. So I'm going to that conference. You know, it's down at the Metrodome. Going to be several bands there. And, oh, it's going to be dark and loud. I'm going to get some feelings down there. And then you leave. And God's flashlight shines on you, and you go, oh, I've kind of lost that love and feeling. I guess I got to go to the next conference. No, you got a Bible. Open it. Read it. Think about it. Let it inflict a gash and then let it heal you. And we'll endeavor to do that right now, courtesy of all of the ways that you can have pride, written by Brent Detweiler. You draw attention to yourself. You like to be the center of attention. You talk more at the family functions. You command the table. You've got pride. You like to talk about yourself, your opinions, what you're thinking, the way the world runs. If you are ever deceitful, what are you doing? You're trying to protect yourself. Why? Because you can't get hurt. So you're willing to tell just a little shading of the truth. If you're ever pretentious, that you kind of build yourself up more than what you really are, it's pride. You desire recognition and praise. Watch that one. Watch it. Now, please note, there's nothing wrong with getting that. That's cool. And I think we should be encouragers for one another. Let's not put any sort of encouragement on the shelf. Barnabas was an encourager. We should be too. We should encourage one another to do what? To pursue godliness and holiness and to do good things. We encourage one another. We can also point out where we've seen a weakness in the past and now it's a strength. Wow, look at God working in you. We can be encouragers. But if you look for that and you can't get through your day unless you get an accolade or somebody recognizes you, stay-at-home mom, careful. This is really easy. I get it. You do so much. And this is a test. This really is. You do so much for everybody in the home. And you'll never get enough thanks for them. And it's really easy to start feeling like, come on, I am not appreciated. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't. That's not my point. This is an opportunity to see your heart. Why is it that you feel that you need accolades when you have already been told by God Himself, you're my beloved, and because of Jesus Christ, you're in Him and I'm pleased with you? That should be enough. Is it? At work? Do you feel like your work has been undervalued and underappreciated? Not by God, it hasn't, if you're doing it for Him. Otherwise, you have pride. Not fulfilled serving others, you do it, but it doesn't give you a buzz. You're self-sufficient. You don't need anybody. Woofta, that's pride. You're anxious about your life. Why? It's because you're not trusting God. You don't believe His promises. If you have a hard time sleeping at night because you're worried, it's because you think you've got to fix everything. That's pride. You're self-focused. You fear humans. Fear of man problem is a big pride issue. It's the core of being scared about what somebody's going to think about you if they find out that, fill in the blank, your house is messy, you can't hit that shot, you didn't make that much. Oh, it'd be so embarrassing. It's a fear of man stemmed in pride. Do you have pride? Hoo, 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 hoo. Man, we've got boatloads of it. I'm going to blast through these. This is going to feel like a speed bag. Remember, we're letting God wound us so that He can heal us and give us joy. These are all the ways that you can have pride. You're insecure. You compare yourself to others. You're a perfectionist. You're self-serving. You feel better or superior. You think highly of yourself. You give credit to yourself. You're self-righteous. You feel deserving. I deserve to have that. They don't, by the way. You're ungrateful. You know why you're ungrateful? It's because you think that you should have that stuff. I don't need to say thank you to God or to anybody else, because it's me we're talking about here. Do you smell yourself yet? You're captive to self-pity, jealous and envious, unkind and harsh. You love to reveal your mind. You might be considered a know-it-all. You like people to know you know. It's hard to admit you don't know. You don't listen to ordinary people. After all, you've got a degree. You interrupt people because I got to say it. What I've got to say is better than what you've got to say. You don't get much out of teaching. I know this stuff. You think of others during teaching because they need it. You don't. You're not teachable. You don't admit wrongdoing. Anybody else have a little struggle with that area, the wrongdoing? You've got wrongdoing. I don't have wrongdoing. You don't welcome correction. You resent people who correct you. Okay, we're at 37. Got the point yet? And yet, Jesus died for you. Knowing about your stinking, reeking pride, he marched to a cross, knowing how pride-filled that you would be to die for you anyway. Why? Because God so loved the pride-filled world, he gave his only begotten Son to be the propitiation. Because God is love. Might I encourage you to dwell and smell your reeking pride today? And then let the balm of the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ not just make you feel not guilty, but give you joy because he is that amazing, even when I am that pride-filled. What is not to love about a God like that? This is Wretched Radio.
I'm Jimmy Hicks, and this is Wretched Radio. A judge in Ontario has revoked a man's shared custody of his children over his opinions that masks and government lockdowns are wrong, which the judge believes means he will not take measures to protect his children from the coronavirus. The decision notes that the man, who has not been publicly named, believes COVID-19 to be a hoax and has boasted about breaking public health regulations. Justice George W. King blames individuals like the father for continuing the pandemic when they, quote, deny the existence, significance, and/or impact of COVID-19. The father reportedly had custody of his children on weekends prior to the ruling. The mother will now be given full custody of the children. The man will be able to see his children at a government facility if he abides by masking and other policies. The Utah legislature passed legislation last week that would require filter mechanisms on smart devices sold in the state to prevent users from accessing pornography and other information harmful to minors, a move sexual exploitation advocates are applauding. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation, a leading national activist group, praised the passage of Utah's House Bill 72. The measure seeks to protect children from viewing inappropriate sexual content online. Benjamin Bull, the senior vice president, general counsel, and law center director for the organization, said in a news story in a Monday interview that this measure is the first of its kind and is just the first step in protecting children and families from unsolicited sexual content. All devices have filters to restrict content, but the default position for filtering content is turned off when the device is initially sold. This bill requires content filters to block explicit material on smart devices which are sold in Utah. It requires those filters to be turned on. Adults will be given a pin to deactivate the filter if they choose, but children will not receive a pin to remove the filter. Proponents of the bill admit that the bill is imperfect, but point out that it will not take effect until 5 other states pass a similar law. The bill could go into effect January 1, 2022 if those 5 other states implement similar measures. Idaho, Montana, and Missouri, among other state houses, are now considering the legislation. Utah and other states have taken steps to address the public health repercussions of pornography. In April of 2016, former Utah Governor Gary Herbert signed a resolution deeming pornography a public health crisis. Around 70% of children between 7 and 18 have accidentally encountered pornography online, and 90% of children between 8 and 16 have seen online pornography, according to GuardShield, citing a compilation of child internet crime and abuse statistics from a variety of online sources. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to be confused with the Pointer Sisters, but I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I like it. This is Wretched Radio. Wow, that I remember that song. And now that I think about that song, it's not good, is it? Nevertheless, those things get stuck in our brains, don't they? And we thought the music the kids listened to was awful. Think about the lyrics to that song. It is about a woman who is about to behave very poorly. and she thinks she likes it. And I was singing along at the age of whatever I was back then, probably about four. I was in the 80s, so something like that. Nevertheless, so excited about what is happening with Road Trip to Truth, sharing this with you. You think it is so that I am trying to encourage you to get Road Trip to Truth at wretched.org/roadtrip with a study guide to use it with your youth group. No, that's not why I'm sharing this with you. We should be rejoicing about this. It is airing on networks all over the country and all over the world right now. Road Trip to Truth is being seen globally on Christian networks all over the planet, and people are starting to see that the kids need a little learning. They need a little better doctrine and a little more teaching and a little bit more discussion about the pressures that the world is exerting on them to abandon their Christian worldview. So, gospel partners, thank you for allowing us to make that show. It is reaching an awful lot of kids, and it is being taught in an awful lot of youth groups. Yes, I'd like to encourage you to get the study guide and the DVD series or the digital download at wretched.org/roadtrip. But I'm not going to do that because I just wanted to share with you the good news. Very exciting. And here's what else I'm excited about. Road Trip to Truth Season 3. Freel, your math is off. You skip Season 2. We're actually done with Season 2. And if it were possible, and I think it actually is, it's better than Season 1. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Pretend I didn't tell you this, because I don't want to, what is it called? Spoiler alert?
That's it.
One of the episodes is about the subject of pornography. And you most likely just did a little bit of an eye roll and went, yeah, okay, great. Pornography, don't do it. It's bad. It's terrible. Yeah, we say that, of course, because it is bad and it is terrible and nobody should do it. But it goes so much deeper than that. And it reveals the heart of the issue. And it is presented in a way that is so thoughtful. Any kid who watches it is going to go, I didn't know that the Bible actually like helped you deal with understanding what's actually going on, because it's starting to expose what's really happening in my heart. And it is so thoughtful. And normally, I have to confess to you, I am averse to things like this. But it's so right, and it's so appropriate, and it is a message that is so often not heard regarding the subject of pornography. Pastor Jess Arntz, he's now he's in Napa, California now. He used to be the associate pastor at our church. And he brought up an angle of pornography that I do think is worth some attention with your kids or with you in your heart if you're wrestling with this issue. And by the way, you're not wrestling. You're just on the mat. You're it's just drubbing you. You're wasting your potential. You have no idea what you could be and what you could do if you would kill pornography. It is strangling you. It is twisting you. It is contorting you. It is perverting you. It is hollowing you out. And you don't even know it. And you don't know what you're missing, what you could be doing, what you could be accomplishing, because you're shriveling up on the inside. And it has a leash on you. It's a choke collar, really. And it's strangling you. And that's why you need to mortify it. That's one reason why. Not certainly the only reason, but it is a perspective that I think we should bring to biblical counseling when it comes to the issue of pornography. And so it is that we did in Road Trip Season 2, which brings us to Road Trip Season 3. This is not definitive yet, but I am so excited about this that I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. See, that's how powerful music is. It just gets stuck in your noggin right there. Oz Guinness might be joining us for Season 3. He actually said yes, which is crazy. But he said, yes, we just have to work it out with his schedule. He might be traveling in Europe. He speaks everywhere. And I thought of it just because I was going through my stack of stuff. And here's a quote from Oz Guinness. The Christian faith, I have to try to say it like Oz Guinness, which I can't do because he just oozes smart. And the accent doesn't hurt. The Christian faith is not true because it works. Don't ask me what accent this is. Don't even ask me who I'm impersonating, because not that Oz Guinness listens to this shebang, but if he did, I think he'd be inclined to hurt me. The Christian faith is not true because it works. It works because it's true. Amen to that. That's something most of us don't regularly think about. We overlook this all the time, and I suspect we probably aren't teaching our kids this very well. So we'll tackle this in Road Trip Season 3, most likely. Why do liberal politics fail? They can't work. They don't work. They can't work because they're not in alignment with God's values, with God's truth, which is the only truth. And anytime anything is not operating, even if it's not inspired by God with the knowledge of God, if it's not doing it God's way, it can't work. It doesn't not work because it's just a bad idea. It fails because it simply cannot. You cannot put use a Phillips screwdriver on just a flat nose screw. Go ahead, do that. And how's that working for you? Well, you can kind of get it to twist, but you can't really get it in there. It can't work. And the same thing is true with anything that is not God. The Christian faith is not true because it works. It works because it's true. It is not true because we experience it. We experience it deeply and gloriously because it is true. It is not simply true for us. It is true for any who seek in order to find, because truth is true even if nobody believes it, and falsehood is false even if everybody believes it. That is why truth does not yield to opinion, fashion, numbers, office, or sincerity. It is simply true, and that's the end of it. I love talking like that. Oz Guinness, Season 3. Can't wait. And speaking of the whippersnappers, they're not getting married. Have you noticed that? I think that's a subject that we're going to want to tackle for Season 3. I came up with a number of reasons why I suspect a very observable trend. It's even inside of the evangelical church that the kids are gun-shy about getting married. I suggested a number of reasons. Pornography, big reason. Who needs a woman when you got porn? And I don't mean this just because you're the female gender. Women are hard work. Men are hard work too for women. We're dealing with a human is hard. Porn, piece of cake. Intimacy, human intimacy, was tended to be hard to bring us up, to pull us up to a higher level, so that a woman would freely give herself to a man who is actually trying really hard to be a godly man. Porn? Who needs that hard work? I've got a stash of it on my computer. That was one of the reasons. I think also because culture is telling them that marriage, not needed. It's an institution that is not the bedrock of our society. You just don't. Besides, then you can swing, daddy-o. And I received an email from somebody. This was sent in from Reese, and he's right, because I've observed it, and I've also seen it in other articles about the subject of why young men and young women are not getting married, especially young men, postponing it, postponing it, postponing it. He captures what I was reading about in a poll of young people. Why aren't you getting married? He wrote this. As a 25-year-old Christian man who's hoping to get married, I think there's an additional issue for the godly people I know. Three words. Marriage is risky. He's right. It is risky, especially today. Thank you, No Fault Divorce. Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for that one. Thank you, Richard Nixon, for that one. We can get divorced at the drop of a hat. You see billboards say undo to I do. 79 dollars, and it's a 2-for-1. Share it with your neighbor. Everybody gets divorced at our firm. As a 25-year-old, he recognizes marriage is risky. He wrote this. All around me, I see broken marriages or dysfunctional ones. That's convicting, isn't it? This is a small thing, but maybe the cracks and the jokes about marriage, we need to pull back on just a little bit. You know, the old ball and chain routine. And maybe start talking positively about it. And if you're not talking negatively about it, but you're not talking about it, maybe we're going to do this next generation a favor by letting them go. Marriage is amazing when you understand what it is, when you understand the point, and when you understand that Christians, when they say I do, never say I don't anymore, that it is for life, that it is a covenant relationship, till death do us part. And when it is done rightly, there is nothing more joyous in the earth, but not in the universe, because it simply points to a greater reality. Marriage is merely a metaphor for the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't start telling our kids that, I got to tell you, good luck finding a spouse for your kid. This is Wretched Radio. Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions, or men not really asking for help from anybody in general? Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact, because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds and they will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Surveys said. This is Wretched Radio. Surveys, all kinds of surveys for your consideration. Some of them helpful, some not so much. We tried to just bring the ones that we thought were sort of helpful. How many Americans do you think would like to have more than one United States? Which I guess would make us the divided states. If we broke up, what would happen? Would we... We need a name change, because he couldn't be called the United States anymore because, well, we got a divorce from one another. Nevertheless, whatever we're going to be called, it appears that there's a growing number of people who are thinking Splitsville wouldn't be so bad. Here it is. Ooh. Average 29% of Americans welcome the dividing of the U.S. into politically like-minded regions, survey says. 35% of Republicans like the idea. 21% of Democrats agreed with it. Yikes. 37% of independents also said they would support the change. America, America. Of Republicans surveyed in the poll, 22% said they believed in the integrity of the 2020 election results. That's driving a great deal of this, that there's a very large number of people who believe that if the voting system can't be trusted, there's no point. That it's just a, it is a big deal, isn't it? It is a big deal when you think about it, because if your vote doesn't matter, somebody could swipe it. This suddenly helps me to understand why for years they would always talk about, and it's a peaceful transition of power, like it's a big deal. I think we all kind of appreciate that more, don't we? It really is a big deal. And with a growing number of people believing that we do not have integrity in our elections, 22% believed in the integrity. 78% don't. That's the Republican side. 78% don't. This has all the mix-ins for a not United States. People desiring to have a region where we can go, where we can be with like-mindeds. Which, by the way, that actually already exists. I'm not a constitutional scholar, not a revolutionary scholar, but that's the idea of states. We're united with common ideals, but when you are living in a place and you don't like the way that it's being run, you just skedaddle across the border to a place where you do like it. Do we need different states, or shouldn't we be just kind of working through the state system before we get to the let's just divide and start a new country system? Again, I'm not a historical scholar here, but it seems to me that should be what we can avail ourselves of if we don't like where we are currently living. And just a word that is probably pretty obvious. Don't forget, if you're thinking about moving, it's just an election away to the state that you think is red. It can turn blue in a heartbeat. It can change right underneath you. Country too. I've been hearing about a lot of people looking at foreign countries. Where to go? Should everything come tumbling down? I understand that. But what we should have in our United States is a state that you can go to first. That was the original idea. Survey says Nepal. Guess what is the fastest growing branch of Christianity? You guessed it. New Apostolic Reformation. This happens to be from the Christian Post. This happens to be about the supposed miracles that are taking place. Despite persecution and poverty, the Nepalese church has grown incredibly quickly. Praise God for that. One of the fastest growing Christian populations in the world, in part because of miraculous healings. And I have seen the video on some of those miraculous healings. It's the same old tired song and dance. They had a limp. Now they don't have a limp. They had my shoulder was kind of aching, and now it doesn't hurt. But none of these miracles, which, by the way, they do have cell phones in Nepal. They could videotape these things. None of them are organic healings. None of these are actual miracles. It seems that all of the recordings that we have of these are psychosomatic issues, or these are some parlor games that are played on people, but we are not seeing organic healings. Nevertheless, this is the group that is really having a huge impact globally. It's the New Apostolic Reformation movement. Sadly, it is alive and sickly because it is a No, it's not even a form of Christianity. It's an aberrant form of Christianity. And it continues to infect, and I mean infect, Christian churches around the globe. Might be inclined at the moment to do a shout-out for the Masters Academy International, but that would seem like I was an opportunist, wouldn't it? Because all you'd have to do is visit Wretched.org/pastor to learn more about the Masters Academy International supporting mini seminaries around the globe. Let me tell you, the Christian churches, even good ones around the world, are getting hit and infected by NAR monkey business. Masters Academy International, equipping pastors around the globe to defend the truth and to protect their flock from this infection known as the NAR. You can learn more about the Master's Academy at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. By the way, Colin just came back from the Master's Academy. Last week, they were supposed to have the Shepherd's Conference. You know that that didn't happen. I don't know that it has been rescheduled yet. Nevertheless, there are all kinds of people in from the Master's Academy, international. So he had the chance to film people from Russia, where there's a Master's Academy, Philippines, I think South America, all kinds of people coming in for training so that they can go back and train pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. It's an amazing ministry. 1951, Nepal reported no Christians in a government census. By 1961, there were a whopping 458. That's some slow growth. Today, the World Christian Database ranks the country as the 12th fastest growing Christian population in the world with 1,285,200 believers. Praise God for that. Seriously, that's just shocking. It would just be a whole lot better if the NAR were not a part of that growth. Be warned, Mom and Dad. Even though they're a little bit off the radar these days, they are still making their way into Christian churches. They have their apostolic training, their miracle centers all over the country. And the music, it still gathers the kids together, at least when we can gather. They are not slowing down. It is a really nasty form of Christianity. Speaking of Europe and overseas, well, we sort of were. Nepal, it's not America, so it's like Europe. Cousin. Church desecration in Europe under Islam. 829 hate crimes against churches in Sweden have been reported between 2012 and 2018, and it's going up. By the way, it's the religion of pieces that is causing all of these attacks. In France, churches are vandalized every day. 2019, 1,063 attacks on Christian churches or symbols, crucifixes, icons, statues in 2018. Increasingly vile. One example, vandals used human excrement to draw a cross on the Notre Dame des Enfants Church in Nimes, N-I-M-E-S, in 2019. Vandals desecrated and smashed crosses and statues in Lavaux. They mangled the arms of a crucified Christ in a mocking manner and burned altar materials. Brought to you by the religion of peace. There's another one that's off the radar, isn't it? Nevertheless, they keep doing the voodoo that they do. Similar reports coming from Germany. Mainstream media regularly claims that the vandals are just mentally ill or part of a right-wing extremist group. They're Muslims from the religion of peace. Terror works. Haven't we learned that from last summer? Terror works. When a group of people says, you disagree with us, we're going to hurt you, it has an effect. It's working in Europe. It's working in the States, too. Nevertheless, when the people reported doing this are yelling, Allahu Akbar, it's a pretty good sign we know who these people are. Don't we? Sorry. Just taking a moment here to be prepared to be called a name. Andy Stanley is embarrassed as a Christian by churches that sparred with government over COVID lockdowns. Quote, the thing that's been concerning to me about the local church is how quickly so many churches felt like we've got to get back in our building, shoulder to shoulder, doing what we've always done. Yeah, it's called the assembling of the saints. It's kind of a big deal. But Andy doesn't seem to think so. Quote, it was the exact wrong response to COVID because we had an opportunity of a lifetime to do new things, try new things, experiment with new things. I guess new is the trend for trendy people. Because we couldn't do the old things. And instead of focusing on what we can't do, we should have been 100% focused on what we can do. So what did they decide to do? Ooh, it looks like they worked with the Red Cross to do the biggest blood drive that was ever held at North Point Churches. That's terrific. Stating anybody who desires to get back for church isn't being a good witness because we've got to be about the mission, but we got to be pragmatic about how we're going about doing it. Assembling together, that's not an option. It's a command, and we should be rushing to get back together as soon as we safely can. More wisdom from Andy. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.